Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
Tonight's New Year's Eve, and I hope you all have a safe, happy New Year. Yesterday closed the most difficult year for stocks investors have seen since 2008, and the worst year for bonds basically in my lifetime. And while it's not accurate to say the outlook for markets is good, because it's not, there are reasons to be at least somewhat optimistic as we start 2023, especially compared to the start of 2022. So let me run through that today if I can. First, the market is no longer overvalued. It may seem a lot longer than just a year ago, but stocks ended 2021 and started 2022 at really nosebleed valuations. However, currently the S&P 500 is trading at approximately 17 times 2023 S&P 500 earnings of 225. Now, certainly that number can go lower if a full-fledged and deep recession occurs. It can fall as low as 15 times earnings if we see that again. I talked about that last week. So if you missed this segment last week, go back and listen to that. But at the same time, there's also legitimate upside if the Fed is successful in their soft landing, and we could see that go up to 18.5 times earnings. Second, for the first time in a year, there's actually positive progress on inflation. Now, hopes of a sharp drop in inflation that bring it back to 2% aren't really that realistic. The days of sub 2% CPI that we enjoyed from 2008 through 2020 are likely gone, possibly for a long time. But inflation really could get down to 3 to 4% if the Fed is successful in what they're trying to accomplish. But for all intent purposes, we could exist or see 2023 without a material inflation problem and get back to, say, 5 or 4% as the Fed is trying to do. So from that perspective, that is a overall positive. Third, it's undeniable that the economy is slowing down. We've certainly been talking about it multiple weeks here the last couple months. And there will be an economic loss of momentum, but it doesn't automatically mean that there's going to be a deep, dark recession. Recession, I still think yes, but hopefully not deep and dark. History, if history's on our side, and I've never seen a soft landing successfully executed, but this is not normal times. The pandemic stimulus and lockdowns essentially supercharged the economy, and personal balance sheets look pretty good. Employment remains fairly strong, and while rates are high right now, they are still just at levels which we have seen in the past. Certainly since I've been practicing in this field, I've seen rates at these sort of levels. Point being, we're not talking about 18% mortgages of the 80s. We're talking about 6 to 7%, which until 2008 wasn't a terrible rate. On a personal note, my first house purchase was 5 1/8 mortgage, and I thought that was a deal. Finally, geopolitics are admittedly a mess, but if there's a lesson for every global troublemaker from 2022, it's that causing trouble isn't worth it. Putin's invasion of Ukraine has proven to be a massive mistake. Yes, in the end, Russia may well seize a bit more Ukrainian territory, but it will come at a fantastically high price. Meanwhile, Europe, Russia's main energy market, has essentially replaced Russia, and long after the conflict has ended, that will have a negative implication for the Russian economy as the Europeans are switching to alternative energy sources and getting very focused and serious about that. Moreover, it turns out that when tested, NATO stepped up and the coalition against Russia has held together, and that demonstration will make other countries like China and North Korea less inclined to cause trouble. Yes, the risk of nuclear war is much higher than at any point since the 60s. So it's not like the invasion of Ukraine isn't a massive negative for Ukraine and the world. But there are positive takeaways from it that could pave the road to geopolitical calm in the years ahead, as the clear lesson from Russia's invasion of Ukraine is that it's simply just not worth it. So just to be clear, I'm not trying to put on rose-colored glasses on the last day of an awful year, but I cannot help but notice that the total 180-degree sentiment change from last year, literally 1 year ago, stocks were going out at all-time highs. Optimism was palpable. There seemed to be no end to the good times. Now, with the S&P 500 ending the year down just about 20% negative, sentiment is negative, and I've seen something like this back in 2009. So while I can't say with confidence that the bottom is in, yet I don't think it is, still looking for January and February, I can say there's a legitimate path to a rebound. Won't be easy, but if it exists, and that's worth something, we'll talk a little bit more about that right now. All right, now let's talk about 2023. The key question for markets for 2023 will be, will inflation fall faster than economic growth and earnings? It really comes down to that. That determination is going to be what pushes the S&P 500 back above 4,000 or sees us test and possibly break the October lows that we saw. And I've been calling for 32 to 3,400 on the S&P 500. So here's a description. Here's what I'm looking for. If growth and earnings fall faster than inflation, then this is what this will look like. We're going to get stagflationary recession. One of the reasons stocks have fallen over the past few weeks is earnings concerns and growth concerns, and that relates directly to valuation. So if the 2023 earnings fall to $210 a share, then if we assume a multiple of 16.5%, it means the fair value of the S&P should drop from 3,700, say 3,465. In this scenario, growth also will be falling, but because inflation is still high, the Fed can't pivot, and that means that the multiple will fall further, and that's what I was talking about with that 15-time multiple earlier, where we could see a worst case for the S&P 500, say around the 3,200 level. Now, what about the good sides? Well, if inflation falls faster than growth and earnings, we get a soft landing. 2023 earnings per share should stay around 225 and growth will start to slow, but partially, and then inflation will fall more quickly. Then the Fed can pivot and the multiple stocks can move back up to 18 times earnings, which means that fair value on the S&P 500 should be somewhere around 4,000 to 4,050. I would expect at a minimum for there to be elevated volatility as we start into January and particularly into February, into 2023, and that the market determines which will be the outcome, growth earnings falling faster than inflation or inflation falling faster than growth earnings, that's where we're going to see the outcome. Tactically, still like value over growth, still like defensives, overweight on tactical allocations, and minimum volatility ETFs. So cheers to a brighter 2023, because if history's shown us anything, bull markets always follow bear markets. It's just a matter of when and how long. If you look at the historical 60-40 allocation, again, a 60% S&P 500, 40% in the Bloomberg U.S. Aggregate Bond Index, typically when you have tough years like we saw in 2008, again, this data is coming from Morningstar Direct and Edward Jones, and of course, past performance is no guarantee of future results, but when we look back, we can see in 2008, after a pretty big drop in the balanced bond index with stocks, they had a pretty strong year in the following year where that allocation was up around 16%. Now, remember, we just had a pretty tough year for a 60-40 portfolio. And again, if this economy can straighten itself out and growth starts to overcome, this could be a good year for a 60-40 allocation where you've got bonds and stocks in a mix in your portfolio. Now, the other area that I'd be looking for as well when the turn comes would be growth, because we know that value has outperformed growth by a pretty significant margin this past year and the year before that. And so if we're going to see a turn and some more strength, then growth could be a place to be. Small caps could also be interesting as well. So we'll just have to be on the lookout for that and get ready to turn into that. But that's also a very good reason why you never should just have everything in value. You should always have sort of a balance between value and growth. And when there's tough times and rising rates, like we're going to continue to see, I believe in the first part of 23, you want to have an allocation, maybe an overweight to that area. Hope that was helpful. Hope you have a great New Year's Eve. Here's cheers to a brighter 2023. And I hope you and your family are safe, and look forward to talking to you next week when we kick off our boot camp. Hoo-ha! And start laying down some great fundamentals as we get into the 2023 year.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.